So I'm going to present the first results on our direct WIMP search of the cryogenic dark matter search in our new experimental locale in the Sudan Underground Lab. The collaboration consists of 42 physicists at 11 institutions, and the results I present today are described in the dissertations of these four graduate students. The experiment is founded on using detectors that are very sophisticated and measure the energy of every interaction in both ionization and also in phonons. This allows discrimination, as Jules described, against photons and electrons while accepting nuclear recoil events such as WIMPs as well as neutrons. Furthermore, since we collect athermal phonons in sensors that are divided into four quadrants, the relative timing of the event reaching the different four quadrants allows us to determine the position of the interaction in the XY plane of the detector. And we demonstrate that by shining particles through a collimator and imaging the positions. Even more important than the XY position information, the pulse shape and timing of the pulse, of the phonon pulse, allows us discrimination against events such as low energy electrons that occur on the very top or very bottom of our detectors. So for example, we have a discrimination parameter called phonon rise time here. And if we accept only events with long phonon rise times and small ionization yield, we can accept about half of the nuclear recoil events while rejecting nearly all of the electron recoil events, and in particular, these events on the surface that would otherwise give us problems. I want to stress that we are really only beginning to take full advantage of this phonon timing. We are in the process of improving our modeling of the phonon physics and therefore leading to extraction of better discrimination parameters against backgrounds. Here is another discrimination parameter that we call phonon delay, and you can see that it provides excellent rejection of all electron recoil events, while keeping most of these nuclear recoil events. We first ran the experiment at Stanford at a shallow site in sunny California. We exposed 1 kilogram of germanium for 28 live days exposure after cuts, and we observed 20 nuclear recoil candidates at the shallow site, which was consistent with our expected neutron background. In order to avoid this neutron background, we have moved to a more attractive site, in the Sudan mine, where the greater depth will decrease the neutron background from about this 1 per kilogram per day to about 1 event per kilogram per year. In Sudan, we are in a cavern right next to the old Sudan 2 detector and connected by a tunnel to Minos. The detectors themselves live inside an RF shielded room and are surrounded by active and passive shielding. This photo shows the active VTO, and also in the background you can see the dilution refrigerator. Inside this active VTO, we have first 40 centimeters of outer polyethylene, which removes neutrons from radioactivity in the walls. And then inside that, we have lead, including some ancient lead, and then more inner polyethylene to reduce the flux of background photons and also to reduce the flux of neutrons produced by muons. Inside all that, we have our copper cryostat, which is shown here, along with the bases of the various shielding layers during construction. For the first run at Sudan, we ran exactly the same detectors that we had run at the shallow site. On the bottom of the six detectors, the bottommost detector was a silicon detector that we knew had some carbon-14 contamination on it, which is why we put it on the bottom. On the top, we put a germanium detector that we knew had the worst energy resolution of all the detectors, and so we put it in the unfavored position at the top. For running these six detectors over a three-month period this past fall and winter, we ended up with 53 live days of data after cuts. We set all of our cuts blind to the actual signal region, instead using calibrations in order to set our cuts. Calibrations both from a californium neutron source where the event's shown in yellow, and also from a barium photon source where I have the events shown in blue. Both these plots, so ionization yield versus recoil energy, with the plot on the left prior to timing cuts, and we actually set our cuts specifically to reject all events in this all electron recoil calibration events that in the signal band. So our signal band for these calibration data is empty. With these cuts, we kept still 70% of the neutrons from these timing cuts. The overall efficiency as a function of energy is shown by this solid curve here for all the cuts put together. After we opened the box of the blinding, we discovered that we had used a worse energy estimator for much of the data than we had intended to. And so this solid curve shows the efficiency for the analysis that we actually did blind. We also went back and fixed the problem and did another analysis, which is therefore not quite blind, which, however, has slightly better efficiency and therefore slightly better sensitivity. Our energy spectra from photon calibrations agree very well, showing we understand our energy scale and also particle transport. Similarly, the energy spectra for neutron calibrations agree well, indicating that we know the energy scale for nuclear recoils, and in particular that we understand the cut efficiencies for separating nuclear recoils. Here's a plot of the WIMP search data, again both prior to cuts, the timing cuts, and after the timing cuts. It looks very much like the photon calibration, except with far less statistics, except for this one feature that we see, which is a 10.4 kV line from gallium, which shows that our energy resolution is very good, even right near our analysis threshold of 10 keV. We see that there are some number of events in the signal region before the timing cuts, but after timing cuts, there are no candidate nuclear recoil events. Based on the number of events before the timing cuts, and also based on the calibration data, we estimate that the expected number of misidentified electrons falling in this nuclear recoil band should be about 0.7 events, and we should have a background from neutrons which is considerably smaller than that. If we then use the non-blind analysis with the slightly better energy estimates, the energy estimates are slightly improved, so the events move around a little bit. Also, some new events pass cuts. I have the low yield events that pass cuts circled here, and in particular there's one event that passes cuts and then also passes the timing cuts and falls in the nuclear recoil band. So we have one nuclear recoil candidate, which is of course also consistent with this expected background from misidentified electron recoils. And so we go ahead and calculate upper limits on the WIMP nucleon cross-section. The limits are shown here for the blinded analysis in the solid and the not blinded analysis in the dashed. These results are a factor of 8 lower than the previous limits that we had at our shallow site, and a factor of 4 lower than the Edelweiss limits. They are clearly incompatible with a Dhamma signal under this standard picture, but there are many alternatives to the standard picture under which the two results may be compatible. And finally, these results are now cutting out a large swath of supersymmetry parameter space under at least some frameworks of minimal supersymmetry. We are, of course, just getting started at Sudan. We installed a year ago, February, actually 12 detectors in two towers of six for a total of 1.5 kilograms of germanium. We should double the exposure and our expected sensitivity by the end of this summer. We've been running these 12 detectors since March. We also have 18 more detectors that we're going to install this fall for a total of 4 kilograms of germanium and should be able to get and improve the sensitivity by over an order of magnitude. So thank you very much for your attention.
Okay, I'd like to invite comments or questions on this talk. Please.
You measure simultaneously germanium and silicon detector, but for your data, did you use only germanium measured data?
So this analysis uses only the germanium results. The main purpose of the silicon is basically if and when we see something, that will tell the difference between whether it's a WIMP signal or if it's not a WIMP signal. But we will also be publishing results from the silicon, which are more interesting at low masses and for spin-dependent interactions, probably at the end of this summer.
Okay, thanks. Okay, other questions? No? I guess not. Okay, let's thank the speaker again.